the question was asked, Hashem created a world where people can worship idols and keep believing in them. How come Hashem does that? So the truth is there's a pasuk about that, but we won't go with the pasuk, even though it deserves discussion. Asher chalak Hashem elokecha lechol ha'amim, the pasuk says. We won't discuss the pasuk right now. Let's begin with the Mishnah. But you should be aware there is a pasuk about this. Sha'alu hazekenim beromi. I'm reading from the Mishnah in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Tractate Avodah Zarah, the fourth chapter, the seventh Mishnah. The elders in Rome asked, Im ein ritzono b'avodah zarah, if God doesn't want us worshipping idols, lamei no mevatla? Why doesn't Hashem just eradicate it? They asked the Jews, you believe God runs the show? You believe God doesn't want us worshipping idols? Well, then why doesn't he do something about it? Amulahen. So they answered them. So the elders were asked this question in Rome, and they answered, if the pagans would worship something that was unnecessary to the world, so then hayam ivatlo, then Hashem would really wipe it out. The pagans, they worship the sun and the moon and the stars and the zodiac. What do you want Hashem to do? Just because there are a few fools in the world, want Hashem to just destroy the planet? So the Romans asked the elders, they said, "Im ken ya'bed davar she'tzorech la'olam bo v'yaniach davar she'tzorech ha'olam bo." So then Hashem should just wipe out all the little idols and not the big idols. What's going to happen then? So then the people who worship the sun and the moon will tell the other people, you see, your gods don't last. But my God, the sun is still up in the heaven. You see, my God is really worth it. So if Hashem would intervene and only destroy some of the gods, then the other pagans would say that's a proof that our gods are indestructible. They are really gods. They're going to say, you see, they're really a god. Okay, so that's what it says over here.
Out of stone, God, and Hashem destroys it. And it's kind of people think in a simple way, the cup is our God now, that God needs to repeat every time is to destroy
what people make their God. So what are you asking?
No, it's more like
you're making a comment.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear. I want to read, there are many commentaries here that's worth reading, but I'll begin with Maimonides and then we'll discuss other commentaries. Maimonides says, I want you to know that those who really are wise people, philosophers, they don't believe in all the different forms or idols. They even laugh and mock them. And they mock the people who think that by having a certain idol or form, that's going to affect their life. I want to tell you, says the Rambam, because I know that most people are seduced by this. There's this tremendous seduction that maybe that works. And they think, hey, there must be some truth to it. Look at all the people who are worshiping it. It's not true, says the Rambam. But the problem is that I know that there are plenty of pious Jews, says the Rambam, who think that if they'd worship a Buddha or a whatever, then it would benefit them. They say, oh, Torah doesn't let me do it, I'm not doing it. But they think there are powers in these things, and they don't realize that it's all a lie. And the Torah told you don't do it, just like the Torah told you don't lie. And the problem is that people don't realize that. And then he goes into the nation called the Tzabim, or Tzabim, that Avraham Avinu came from them. He says, Avraham Avinu emigrated from this nation, and he started arguing with them over their errors and their mistaken beliefs. And Hashem gave him the wisdom that he was able to argue with them philosophically. And they kept thinking that the stars run what's going on here. And they said, there's so much that the stars define in our lives. They wrote whole books and works about how the stars work, and all kinds of works on sorcery, and they wrote all kinds of works on how to put on curses and remove curses, and how to capture demons, and how to tell what's going to be in the future, and how to do sorcery, and how to draw lots, and how to figure out what time would be good to do one thing, and how to do things like throw a stick on the ground and tell you what, the way it landed tells you it's going to be this way or that way. And how to ask the deceased, how to speak to the dead, and all kinds of ideas that they came up with to tell the masses that they have all kinds of powers. But the Torah tells you, hey, it's all a lie. So says the Rambam, you have to know that this is all paganism. This is either paganism or a derivative of paganism. And the first concept that they start with, the idea that the stars define things, he says it's not true. It's just a lie. The stars will not define things in your life. He says those who understand science know it's just not true. They tell you this star is evil and that star is good. This star brings destruction. That star brings success. And they start talking to you about constellations. They don't even understand what they're talking about. And the Rambam goes into defining the movements of the stars. He argues with them on their turf. He says, if you'll realize how little they understand about how the solar system works, you'll realize you shouldn't really believe about anything else about the stars. He says, once they got their first lie in, to tell people that the stars will define different things about their lives, so then they add a second lie. And that is that they say, if you make these different forms, they can tap into different forces. And if you wear this type of amulet or that type of form, that will help you and give you different blessings. And that, says the Rambam, you have to know that that's the second lie. But you have to start with the first lie. That's what the Gemara says in Tractate Sanhedrin, that there are works which are problematic because they inculcate concepts that are antithetical to the way of the Torah. When we read the book Ben Sira, so we think it's just a book which has some smart things and some stupid things. He tells you over there, when you meet a man whose beard does this, so you should be very careful, Zaldekan, someone whose beard splits in the middle, he says that's a person who's always plotting, he's cunning. And our sages said, you can't read the book. So the sages ask, why can't you read the book? So it's a silly book. So they say, no, there's an underhanded theme over there that's antithetical to Torah. When he tells you that if you see a person whose beard does this, then you're meeting someone who's cunning, what he's telling you is, you don't have free will. Your beard will define what type of person you are. Meaning Ben Sira interjected into his work concepts which are antithetical to the tenets of Torah. Torah says you're responsible. You better live up to your responsibilities. You have to be an ethical person. Don't say, well, I was created with a beard like this. What do you want from me? How could I not be cunning? No. So the rabbi said, don't read Ben Sira. Rambam says the whole movement of paganism is based on developing one concept, people buy into it, then you develop another concept, and before you know it, you're working off of their system, that there are all these forces that affect you. It's all a lie, says the Rambam. And so the Torah just said, don't touch it. He goes on and on. I'm just reading the opening lines. So I once asked one of my teachers about something, not paganism. I said, there are people who believe that all kinds of Jews have forces and strengths and they can affect things. So I heard three different lines from three different teachers, okay? The youngest of my teachers said to me a line. We're talking about someone who's a grandfather, but he said to me a line, this rabbi. He said, we believe that those who want to believe will see good reasons to believe. If you want to believe that something works, you will find proofs that it worked. The rule is that those who want to believe in something will find signs that it works. And he said this about Jews. He didn't say this about non-Jews. He didn't say this about paganism. He said it about all kinds of people that tell you they have forces and they can give blessings and curses and who knows what else. He said, I don't buy any of it. He said, if you want to believe that something, you'll find that it works because you believe in it. So then you'll find proofs that it did work. So that's number one. The second rabbi I learned by said a different line, which is not so relevant to here, so we're going to leave it out for now. It's relevant to Kabbalah. It's not relevant to our discussion. Even though Nachmanides warns us in his introduction to his work that if you don't understand Kabbalah really, really well based on tradition, then you should realize that the line between Kabbalah and paganism is very fine, and you won't be able to prevent yourself from crossing the line. He says to try and study Kabbalah when you don't really know what you're doing, just because you read it and you think you understand, you're going to cross the line. That's why I'm tempted to quote what the second of my teachers said, but we'll leave it out for now. And the third, which is the biggest rabbi of the three, which is one of the greatest halachic authorities of this past century, he wasn't talking to me. He was learning with a friend of his, and I was in the base medrash, and it was the two of them and me. I was learning, and they were learning. And when they finished learning, so his friend said to him, Rabbi, do you believe in the miracles they attribute to many different people? So he was talking about people of our day. He said, no. So he said, what do you mean? They say, they say all kinds of rabbis did all kinds of miracles. So he said two interesting things. He said, number one, people attribute miracles to me too. He said, this chavrusa. I blessed someone, his children should get married that year, and they did. So now they say I'm a miracle worker. He had three daughters who weren't getting married, and I blessed them. I said, this year they should get married, and then they did. So okay, so now they say I do miracles. This is the rabbi was saying. And I could tell you that I called that rabbi when my wife was pregnant, and my wife asked me to ask him, I learned by him, so my wife asked me, ask him for a blessing, I should have a quick delivery. So I did. And he said, okay, she should have a quick delivery. I hung up the phone, her water broke. Okay, true story, by me. No, so what? He said about himself, jokingly. He said, they say I do miracles. I don't believe any of it. Okay? This is a story that happened in my house. And I could tell you another few fantastic stories. So what? This is what he said about it. He said, so his friend asked him, he said, and if you were in the room, and this rabbi said A happened, what would you say then? So he said, I'd say he jinxed me. He said, I'd say, I didn't get it right. That's not what happened. So people want to believe, and I'm giving you pure, untainted sources. You asked me about people who believe the pagan God will do something for them. And I'm telling you, even in Judaism, our tradition, my tradition, is that we're not people who want to believe something happened, they're going to see that it happened. And again, I could give you stories. I could sit here for the next 20 minutes giving you stories that I witnessed firsthand. If it's the girl who kept vomiting everything she ate, and she underwent a year and a half of specialists who couldn't figure out why she was doing it. And then I brought her to a Rav who I was learning by, and he said, it'll pass in a half a year, don't worry about it. And I was like, I don't believe in that. And it did. It did. I know the girl, I was with her, I was the translator in the room, and no doctor knew how to explain what was going on or how it would stop or anything. And he said, in a half year it'll slow down until it'll peter out, tell her to get ready to get married, it's gonna be over. And I looked at him like, okay, I didn't come that wasn't my question. My question was, do you have a doctor you recommend, a treatment you recommend, you know, something that I could wrap my head around. So I could tell you stories. But at the end of the day, we don't live from this. And even if a person will say, but I prayed to who knows what, and it worked. Okay. Hashem doesn't change the world. That's why I brought the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. The rabbis answered the Romans, and they said, Hashem is not going to get involved over every stupidity that people do. That means sometimes a person will pray to an idol, and they'll get cured, and sometimes they won't. Because you know what? Sometimes people get cured, and sometimes they don't from anything. From not doing anything too. So that's the fact that people see that it works. Okay, we have gone the course of Maimonides in answering this question. There is a different course, and that is the course of the Ran. I'm just pointing out that if you want, after we order pizza, there's more to explore on this, because I've only gone one course in you know, we learned Rambam on this Mishnah. The first we have to